let's welcome James Cagney.
Man, an honor, brother. A true honor. Hey, everybody, how are you? I just spilled some water, so this reading is officially baptized.
That's right.
I'm going to initially bring into this room a mention of Tongo. I was almost wondering if he was going to show up today, but I'm going to read this and share this with you guys anyway.
He's probably reading somewhere.
Probably. He gave me some homework last week of last year. I saw him at an event that I did, and he said, I looked at him, he said, "We'll walk on a missile for food." And I said, "Huh?" And he said, "I've written a poem with this line in it. This other person just coincidentally put that line in like a poem. You've got to write a poem with that line in it." And I said, "Okay, this is for Tongo." And it's a pantoum if you're interested in things like that. "We'll walk on a missile for food. We'll sing a song of tear gas for repast. Mama used to walk 37 missiles in nuclear fallout to harvest enough food to feed a family of four. Whenever a missile migrates overhead, I open my mouth. I am a bird, a tourist, walking dead, hungry. I will sing a song of tear gas for repast. If you can recite the Pledge of Allegiance in time, this bullet will fry itself into a chicken wing. Whenever a missile passes overhead, I open my mouth. I am a bird, a tourist, walking dead, hungry. We'll twerk for housing. We'll shoot for shelter. We'll turf dance rolling rims of mushroom clouds for cotton candy. If you can recite the Pledge of Allegiance fast enough, this bullet will fry itself into a chicken wing. Make sure your allegiance is wanted." And he rebuked the air's ignition and shatterings and said, "Missile, bring food." And the debris became man and the flames became falafel. "We'll twerk for housing. We'll work as ballistic target for food. We'll turf dance rolling rims of cotton gins for bread. Did you have a tough coup? If you've got a van full of hungry revolutionaries, pull on up to the glowing arches." And he rebuked the air's ignition and shatterings and said, "Missile, bring food." And the debris became man and the flames became falafel. "Mama used to walk 37 missiles in nuclear fallout to harvest enough food to feed a family of four. Did you have a tough coup? If you've got a van full of hungry revolutionaries, pull on up to the glowing arches. You deserve a detonation to hush that appetite. I will walk on a missile for my field sobriety test. My DNA has 400 years of probable cause. Yes, I understand your instructions. Heel and toe, walk and turn, and will not stop until me and my family are left for fed." All right. Thank you. And that was for you.
You invoked him. Yeah.
Call the devil's name and up he jumped. Right-o. And let me immediately kill the mood with this poem that I wrote for my biological mother's death. I wrote after my niece put a photo of her on Facebook maybe a couple of weeks before she passed. We will talk about this a little bit later, but I wanted to share this first before I dive into the book. This poem is called 88 Miles, because I realized there were 88 miles between where I was sitting at that moment and where she was in the hospital at that moment, and I was just thinking in those miles. "There are 88 miles between us, rocked raw and dead-ended. 88 miles of asphalt poured gumbo hot. Meteorite roadkill ignites into white phosphorus, solar flares blurring what's left of Route 66. 88 hospice beds grow wild in a Fibonacci bouquet along Burma Shave Highway. 88 gray wolves hopscotch the distance while the dawn's sun branches the horizon like a plum. A squadron of 88 blood moons hover the interstate above a keyboard of crows pitching eggs like grenades. 88 days have passed without incident involving unwanted riverbank babies begging for bottles in the blackberry bushes. No matter how many flower beds I crawl into, they're not as warm as the grave of your final embrace. 88 bayous boil down to banks of saltpeter, bringing whole brotherless armies to their knees in service to shame. 88 deltas, bubbling crawfish the color of devotion roses, born again crustaceans pinching hallelujahs from the air. I am one of 88 men staring at a photograph of someone dying or dead. The person in the photo resembles a melting sculpture, its mouth loose as a child's shoestring, the yolk leaking from their eyes. I have been here before, standing bedside, waiting for the drop. Unsure of what to pray for, I keep clearing my throat. We are not touching. My hands don't know you, so they hang from my arms like sleeping bats, while death dings off the elevator, holding 88 sunflowers dripping crinkled leaves. I am squinting to focus a memory having blurred into strangers. Perhaps I should hurry my apology, but where was I going with it? This makes 88 times I thought all scotch was consecrated, while arid tongues await the unleavened bread, unleavened forgiveness of the body. I smoked 88 blunts at the double-locked door of a no-vacancy church where God keeps their eyes bashfully shut. I spent 88 Septembers in solitary casinos pulling slot machine Bibles until one pays out an infant coughing up its own skeleton. 88 days have passed, and I stay climbing the mountainside, wishing I were a son you found worthy enough to see rise. All right. I want to power through these two, and then we'll go into the book. This is called America I Am. I like the title because it seems to set you up for a pattern that never ever happens. I come from the kidnapped, the assaulted. My country tis of reparations as in-store credit back-ordered to bankruptcy. It is me and my trophy wife passing as a dream of some kind. All I want is 40 dead mules and an acre of land with a lighthouse right above the porch of the great Atlantic Ocean, just in case any of my ancestors tasted nasty and made it. I come from a people who pay a penalty every sunrise and divinate to paroled gods with rancid hog maws. The stripes plowed into my grandfather's back will have to stand in for our family album. Somebody threw some stars in my grandmama's head and said, "Bet you won't ask for no freedom no more." Natives in prison issue war bonnets tell me I come from a poisoned land that recycles children into artillery shells and where dark skin is as good as an invisibility cloak until the police arrive. I am proud to be a blank, where I can hold my head up and drown in the downpour of state-sanctioned cancer. I'm proud to hold my place in back of the line. I come from a land that's open all night like a shotgun wound. And as for y'all tired, y'all poor, y'all huddled masses yearning to breathe free, fuck y'all. I come from a place promising a burning cross in every yard and two meth labs in every garage. And when I say meth lab, I mean golden retrievers smoking crank. The country I come from, I can flash all its gang signs and beatbox all their anthems. I come from a place, actually, I don't know where I came from. I just know I woke up here. My babies were gone, my house was on fire, and I couldn't breathe. All right? I wrote this piece, truly triggered by Jaclyn Call McKinn. This poem is modeled after a poem written by Allen Ginsberg in 1956. This poem's called Between a Rock and an Immigrant. America, goddamn. This is what it's like being between Plymouth's rock wall and an immigrant. America, liberty and justice sure do make cute baby goat names. America, your wig is powdered with coke, but the lice don't seem to mind. America, I'm leaning in. I'm waiting for the conversation to turn to genocide so I can say, me too. America, wake up. You're missing the point. You invented terrorism, but only use dark-skinned models in its ad campaigns. You award assassins with Black Friday arms deals. America, when I say you, I mean we. The people, I guess. I plan to make extra cash trademarking waterboarding, but it's patented already. Are there tortures you don't profit from? Which bank do you entrust your thoughts and prayers? America, can you say her name? As in a novena, not a marketing slogan. America, 9 people were murdered in a church, but the shooter on your flatbed truck is still hungry. 11 people were murdered in a synagogue, but they brought it on themselves for praying unarmed. 20 children were shot at Sandy Hook, but your taste is for a loaded gun over a living child. If you say you love children, Emmett Till has 4 little girls he'd like to ask you about. Here I go, bringing up old shit again. America, you pass blood hand to hand, generation to generation. Has it ever occurred that you might be the savage, the terrorist, the outside threat you're most afraid of? Ask the Dakota Sioux their version of our history. Ask the buffalo about the endless pains. Ask the poison dead about the true meaning of Thanksgiving. Don't act like you don't know what I am talking about. You dropped the compassion units from all your mindfulness classes. America, what do we tell our children about this home of dead braves? What do we tell our children, period? America, you had a great idea once. You're a dry drunk. You throw a bomb and hide your hand. You're the main suspect and loudest victim both. Stop, children. What's the sound of a mag light hitting a migrant skull? This is not set up for a bar joke. This is me wondering why people are still crossing deserts to escape slavery and oppression, only to meet a walled promised land. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan demanded Soviet leader Gorbachev tear down this wall dividing East and West Berlin. After all these years, it never occurred to me that we kept those bricks in storage. America, you're a big foster home where the poor comes in for its abuse. It's possible that the people who've passed the naturalization test know more of American history than you do, and they still want to live here. America, kneeling was once viewed as a sign of respect or surrender, a sign of honor or a pledge. When a Black man kneels, that gesture becomes threatening. America, there I go, there I go, there I go. America, can you just say her name? Any name. Insert a name here like voting someone off your island. America, this year my therapist recommended I get a facelift. I misheard her say racelift. America, every time a siren rings, a black man gets his wings, and his mother kneels at an open casket to sing the national anthem. God's heart bursting, a napalm cherry midair. What would it look like? Who would we be if we had no one left to hate or ban? Can you imagine this with your eyes open? All right, thank you for that. I figured this week it might be important for somebody to tell you the truth. I wanted to read then and do some work from the actual book, Black Steel Magnolias and the Our O Chaos Theory. And let me then jump into the opener. Which I think explains itself. I used to introduce this poem, I'm just gonna go for it. This is called Identity to Burn. And you know what, Molly, I'm gonna dedicate this to you. You have to write a poem about identity, she says. Well, when is you gonna write about me? When is you gonna write about your favorite sister? I know I've given you enough material by now. Look, she says, you got enough identity for the whole class. There may not be enough time for anybody else to speak. Identity, she says, it's gonna be the easiest poem you ever wrote. Let's see. Tell them how your family tree wasn't what you thought it was. Tell them about how you was an only child and at 19 found out you was adopted and suddenly had this whole new identity. Tell them about how your mama had 7 kids to raise on one check, so she gave you to another family so you'd have a better chance at life. Now, they was really too old to have kids, but you don't have to say that. You can say how your mama befriended your, how you say it, birth mama while she was in beauty school? Miss Cagney was her instructor, huh? Yeah, tell them that. Tell them you didn't know about us, your real family. You just thought you was all alone in this world after your daddy died, your mama died. Tell them about how Medi-Cal did you a number and you became homeless and your other family said, well, drop us a postcard every now and then, baby James. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know you're all right. Tell them about how you were born when? In 68 and reborn in 1999, adopted back into the family you was adopted out of. Now, you don't have to tell them about your love life. I'm saving up to get you a good piece for your birthday. And don't tell them about your brother that's been institutionalized or that cousin of yours with the plate in his head who drank himself to death after your mama passed. Shoot, can I get credit for this poem too? I mean, look at you, so much has happened. You got 2 whole identities, 2 families, 2 mamas. One of them's gone now, but you know. I mean, boy, you rolling. You got identity to burn. You can knock this poem out in a few minutes, throw some rhymes in there, it'll be all good. Then you can start writing about something important. You can start writing about me, because I can't see how you made it all these years without me, and I can't imagine why you're having problems writing about identity. There you go. Thank you so kindly for that. We'll do this one. This is called Negro Geist. It's a poem in 2 parts, one for my dad and my cousin, John Edward. Oh. Blessings to both of y'all. 1, Daddy. Old Crow and Jack Daniels understood my father mouthfuls at a time. Jim Bean and Old Forrester were uncles in hard glass suits. They'd roll up in the knuckle crack and sigh of Hennessy taking its first breath, then hound dog laughter and dominoes falling in hail on the graveyard of the dining room table. Relatives who existed only through stories and memory would ease in like zombies on ropes of Blue Marlboro and Newport and Camel Smoke, then demand a seance in spades, coon can, and Texas Hold'em. No wonder they called it spirits. Spirits baited my father with Cuvassier, snatching him out of his body like a river catfish, and he'd vanish like that. Spirits made him burn rubber scream in the driveway, stand on my bed a sloppy marionette and speak in tongue, or just toss pans and skillets at midnight. I wouldn't see his ass again till the next afternoon, looking like something had chewed all the sugar out of him and spit the grape pulp on the couch. 2, Johnny. My cousin Johnny volunteered for possession every week. Spirits lit that nigga up like Vesuvius. He was certified. Electroshock exorcism did nothing. Empty bottles and cans were his weekend storm warning. Old English, Colt 45, Crazy Horse, Cisco, they demand sacrifices in blood so bottles of Haldol and Thorazine would dice roll under the couch Friday nights, then doors slam to splinters, tables get flipped, walls kicked until straitjackets lay waiting on the lawn. Mama would cite visions of gang boys with tire iron erections and Johnny's convertible skull with its metal vent as if it explained anything. It didn't. Between dusk Friday and dawn Saturday, he'd still be ready to blow this motherfucker up. You want some of this? Do you want some of this? Oh no, oh yes, oh no, oh yes, I'll be damned, I'll be damned, I'll be damned. Okay? There you go. Sure. Let me do it. So, yeah. I did mention being adopted, and I wrote two poems included in this book. One was for the father that actually raised me, and this is what this poem is. This poem is for him. And I'm gonna follow that with a poem that I wrote for my biological father, whom I never met and who died before I even found out that I was adopted in the first place. So this is for the father that raised me. This is called Requiem. Shut down the highway. There's nothing up ahead. The catfish have stopped biting. The great man is dead. Board up the liquor stores. Hide the guns under the bed. Old river has run dry. The great man is dead. Jump out the back window, your shirt quickly shed. Hit the ground running. The great man is dead. Gamble your last check. The children don't need bread. The cupboard will remain bare this year. The great man is dead. A fight breaks in the bar, broken glass and hot lead. Fire went off for cowboy. The great man is dead. Mama dances alone. An old 45 plays in her head. Love is now rationed. The great man is dead. This trail leads nowhere. In whose footsteps shall we tread? Fill up that hole, boy. The great man is dead. And this is an open letter to Henry. It is so strange. The photograph I was given of you. Because the man in it is me and not me. It is me in costume. It is me at a distance squinted into focus. Everything I do not know about myself has been buried with you. As I settle into a man I do not know, I've become a mystery to myself. How many times have I laughed, coughed, whispered, heard your voice echoing through me? How many times have I missed you waving back at me from behind every mirror while I shaved, washed my hands, cut my hair? How many times have you touched me with my own hand? My inheritance probably lies in habits that annoy me the most. The sound I make clearing my throat, the broad toss of my chest when I walk, or the desolate silence we shared in our heads, in our empty rooms, in our isolated youth. How many times have we been so alone we overlooked one another, standing as close as any man can to his own shadow? All right, and we need to land this reading, and we will land it hot damn. I actually genuinely have no idea. All right. I do have an idea. I just didn't want to do it. All right. Thank you guys for being here for me and Josiah. I did want to read this poem. And respect to you being so quiet, but I'm gonna read this to you anyway, even as this is extremely explosive. I did get stuck taking care of my mom before she passed on. And this poem represents that, and this poem represents, I guess, in-home care for the elderly, and it represents feeling stuck in responsibility, I guess, as your introduction. But this is, here's the poem. Shut up, James. I feel a scream coming on. Out of the blood-soaked silence, like a child buried in a ravine whose spirit tugs at your sleeve and hair like the wind. I feel it coming over the horizon of the bitter truth that nobody believes you're really sick till you're dead, and pain is just a cry for attention. I feel it coming out of the clairvoyant silence that haunts this house like neon mice and shivers deep in the shadows where your ugliest secrets hide and watch your uneasy sleep. I feel it simmering down in my gut where compassion has fermented into hate and has become a demon fetus eating its way through vulnerable tissue and bone. It's coming out of my subconscious, whispering mantras I don't need to be reminded of. I already know what's coursing through these veins is deeper than the blues. Even my boss can see I'm worried while after I hang up the phone. He asks if everything is all right. And like a fool, for the first time in my life, I tell the truth and say, no, everything is not all right and may never be. She's the one sick, but I'm the one that needs to be taken care of. I feel a scream coming on. While my boss rambles, I swallow shots of blood as I bite down on my tongue. Meanwhile, he paces and preaches. His words fall from his mouth in stones and roll to my anxious feet. He's saying, things change. This too shall pass. Nothing stays fixed forever. He says, maybe you ought to pray. I don't believe in God, he says, but I believe in being quiet. I believe in love and peace. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, fuck this existential, theological, psychobabble, masturbatory, 60s, hippie, yuppie, motivational, infomercial, self-help bullshit. Peace is what you get when you ask for pie or for ass, and even then you only get what you pay for. I don't need quotes from the Bible or an advice column. I need a bar fight. I need a cheap, ugly whore with an accent and a bottle of something that tastes like swallowing a snake on fire. I need to be arrested, irresponsible, and mad. I need a lead pipe and a jaw. I need to sink my claws into a motherfucker's chest deep as a blackhead and sharpen my teeth on his gizzard. I feel a scream coming on. I'm looking for somebody to mug me, to say, give me all you got. So at first, I can pretend to rifle through my pockets for bones or lozenges of blood. Then I can grab him by his neck, look him in his eye, and say, you just brought a pistol to a nuclear war, son. I got 4 years worth of pent-up anger and frustration to work out on your ass. That sound you hear growling like a thundering train is coming out of my throat. It is bile with tentacles. It is a sound that eats. And right now, it is all I got to give. Thank you guys very, very much.